A report released this week says Wisconsin has one of the worst flu vaccination rates in the nation for adults ages 18 to 64. And according to an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, this group accounts for nearly 80% of all flu-related hospitalizations since October in Milwaukee. What's going on? Why aren't young and middle-aged adults getting a flu shot? You tell us. Did you get one? Why or why not? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, January 16th. I did get a flu shot, and I haven't been sick with a cold or the flu this season. How about you? Lots of nasty viruses seem to be making the rounds these days. Have you been sick? Have you gotten the flu? We will talk with two guest experts this hour about the flu and the flu shot. And we will wonder why Wisconsin is lagging so far behind in the vaccination rate. And we welcome your questions and your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Dan Hopfensberger, Director of the Wisconsin Immunization Program at the State Department of Health Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us, Tom Haupt. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Good. Influenza Surveillance Coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Well, thanks to both of you for being with us. Let's start with Dan. Why are younger and middle-aged Wisconsinites passing on getting the flu shot?
I think there's a number of reasons for it, Joy. First of all, a lot of people in that age group don't necessarily have primary care providers where they go into their physician regularly, where the physician will recommend to them that they get their flu shot. There is a question possibly about coverage for the vaccine. Are they paying for it out of pocket, or is it an insurance benefit? So that's an issue as well. But we also have the situation, do they think they really need it? They're young, they're relatively healthy. Is the flu going to affect them, or is it just going to be something that, somebody else gets? And if it gets it, if I as a teenager or young adult get the get influenza, is it going to take me down too long, where is it just a couple days? So I think there's a myriad of reasons as to why, but, what we do is work with our public and private health care providers, with pharmacists, to make sure that they promote the vaccine to that age group and to everyone, because it's really recommended for individuals 6 months of age and older.
Yeah, Brandy on Facebook says, I didn't, not because I'm against them, but out of laziness. Is there that, too?
I think that's one of the key points. Is it, like I said earlier, is a matter of convenience. Do I want to take the time to go into my doctor's office to do that? But they have the situation where it's readily available, like as I mentioned, through their pharmacist, where they can walk into their many pharmacies in the state of Wisconsin that make the influenza vaccine available to anybody that walks through the door.
But, only three other states, Idaho, Arizona, and Florida, have worse vaccination rates than Wisconsin. What are other states doing or not doing to boost the number of people who get the shot?
Well, one of the states that I think that is up in the lead is Massachusetts, and they have universal vaccine coverage, which is a covered benefit through state programs that influenza vaccine or many of the vaccines are available to individuals that are recommended for. But there's other reasons as well. It's a matter of being able to dedicate. Dedicate time, the funds necessary to promote the vaccines to the individuals that are recommended for. There's a number of different reasons. We have to also consider that the fluctuation in the rates every year. I mean, we dropped a little bit this year. We went up a little bit last year. It's a matter of the confidence intervals. I know you get into the statistics, but the bottom line is we do know we have issues that we need to improve as far as immunization rates for influenza for all ages. So it's a clear-cut effort by all providers and public and private health to make sure we promote that to the citizens of Wisconsin.
I'll have to admit, there was a time where I wasn't getting a flu shot, thinking that I wasn't supposed to get a flu shot, that I wasn't elderly and I wasn't very young. And now we are supposed to get the flu shot, everybody is supposed to get a flu shot, is that right?
Basically. basic recommendations are for individuals 6 months of age and older. Now, there are certain individuals that may have contraindications, immunosuppression or in some situations, or significant egg allergies, but in those situations, they need to talk to their provider, to their healthcare provider, to make sure that they have a true contraindication. But otherwise, as you mentioned, it's available and recommended for all individuals 6 months of age and older, and we just need to make sure we promote that in that fashion and make sure people understand that, because it is rather confusing, because the changing dynamic of the recommendations. That's only been within the last 5 or 6 years that recommendation has become so broad.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to leave Tom out of the discussion, but I wanted to get some understanding as to why we think these young and middle-aged adults aren't getting the flu shot. According to this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, the flu is packing a pretty decent punch, especially among those in that 18 to 64 category. What's going on this year? 80% of the hospitalizations in Milwaukee are in that age group. What's happening?
Well, Joy, we're seeing very similar things statewide. Not quite 80%, more like around 60% of our cases, influenza hospitalization cases, have been in the 18 to 64 range. As of yesterday, we had 765 total hospitalizations, and we're getting at least 30 to 40 every day coming in.
Wow.
But what's very concerning and what people should heed from this conversation is the rate of admissions to ICU, and that's especially significant in that age group, the 18 to 64. One in four cases, 25-26% of the cases, are being admitted to the intensive care unit, and about one in 10, approximately 10%, are requiring mechanical ventilation to help breathing. So we are dealing with a very powerful virus here, one that traditionally does hit and affect the younger adults more so than the elderly. And this compares to last year when we had the H3 virus, where the vast majority of our cases, close to 70%, were amongst those people 65 and over.
Oh my goodness, that's scary, actually, that they have to go to ICU and be essentially put on a respirator.
Exactly, and in some cases, they further have to be put on life support. And we have been made aware of fatalities as well, and fatalities due to influenza are tragic no matter what age. But when we are being made aware of younger adults in their 20s and 30s who are affected, it is a tragedy. And it's something that I'm hoping that your listeners will, again, listen to our message. And if you've not got your vaccination, now is still the time to do it.
Wow. Now, is this flu strain the H1N1, the swine flu?
Yes, this is the same virus that caused the pandemic, and that has been circulating for the last 4 years. It's been in the vaccination vaccine for the last 4 years as well, and so far we feel that we have a pretty good match. The vaccine efficacy, we'll have to wait and see how that works out. We're very hopeful that it's going to be a very efficacious type of vaccine, but we won't know that till the mid of February. But again, it is the same virus that caused the pandemic, same H1N1 that has been circulating for over 4 years.
Wow. Well, so maybe we should just talk a little bit about, I hear people all the time, friends and coworkers and others who are coming down with something. I mean, they're really sick. They've got fevers. They're whatever, you know, they're throwing up. A wide variety of different bugs, it seems, are going out there. What is the flu symptom that we really should be concerned about?
I think the flu symptoms that we're most concerned about is the abrupt onset of fever, which could go as high as 101, 102, or even higher, headaches, sore throat, coughing, followed by potentially up to several weeks of extreme fatigue and body aches. Those are the main symptoms of influenza. But as you mentioned, there are many viruses circulating in Wisconsin right now, some of which that can also mimic influenza. And that's where people get vaccinated. They come down with a different virus, and they think the vaccine doesn't work. But the vaccine is very important to stop the influenza. That's the one that is preventable.
Joy, if I may jump in.
Yes.
I think that's one of the major issues that we're dealing with, is the myths about the vaccine being effective. One of the things we try to avoid is when people talk about gastrointestinal illness, they often refer to it as stomach flu. And it's just not in the same family.
Right. And norovirus is going around, right. And that's different than the flu.
Over the years, we've had many people that, you know, they get their flu shot, and then a couple days later they come down with some type of gastrointestinal illness, and they think, which is common this time of the year, as Tom mentioned, and you mentioned, it's a situation where, so I got the flu shot, I came down with this gastrointestinal illness where I'm vomiting and throwing up, so therefore I must have got it from the flu shot, and that's just not the case. So as we talked about before, why people aren't getting shots, that's one of the myths that we have to dispel, that you're not going to get the flu from the flu shot. And I also wanted to point out that, you know, as Tom mentioned, we're going up as far as our numbers are concerned, but it's still not too late to get the flu shot. I don't believe we reach peak yet.
We're actually approaching peak, or right near peak, but we're going to have several more weeks of high activity in the state.
All right,
so we're still in a situation where people can get their flu shot and hopefully be protected from disease.
We will welcome questions from listeners on the flu and the flu shot. Did you get a flu shot? Why or why not? Might you get one now after you've heard what you've just heard? How concerned are you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Fewer than a third of Wisconsinites between the ages of 18 and 64 got a flu shot last season. That's one of the worst vaccination rates in the nation. We are discussing why Wisconsin is lagging behind. We're talking about the severity of this year's flu strain. And our two guest experts are here to address your questions, your concerns, your comments about the flu and the flu shot. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Dan Hopfensberger, Director of the Wisconsin Immunization Program at the State Department of Health Services, and Tom Haupt, Influenza Surveillance Coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Well, lots of calls and questions via email and Facebook. This is one we just touched on, but maybe we can elaborate a little bit. Mark on Facebook says, no flu shot for me. When I used to get it, I would get multiple colds and stomach bugs. Not anymore. We've talked about how the flu is not a stomach bug, but I also hear that people say, I got the flu. You know, I felt muscle achy and I got the flu, or I got a cold because I had the shot. Dan or Tom, which wants to address that?
Again, the primary vaccine that's out there is an inactivated vaccine, an inactivated virus, which is not going to give you, the influenza. There is a live vaccine that's available for certain age groups. I believe it's 2 through 59 years of age, or 49 years of age. But there is a situation where it's an attenuated virus, where it's not at the strength that it's going to give you the disease. So a lot of that is coincidental as far as getting the flu shot and then coming down with symptoms. But we also know that the vaccine in some individuals may not be 100% effective. However, it is going to lessen the severity of the disease in most of those individuals. So, you know, those, again, are some of the myths that we're trying to dispel as far as, does the flu shot give you the flu? And that's a tough nut to crack.
Joy, also keep in mind that it takes about 2 weeks to develop full protection once you are vaccinated. So if you are exposed to influenza during that time period, you could actually come down with it. But as Dan mentioned, it's not because of the shot itself.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's true. The Krista on Facebook says, I always get immunized, having a respiratory condition. If I actually get the flu, which is not a stomach bug, I might not survive. And even if I didn't have the medical condition, I wouldn't want to be sick for several weeks feeling like I've been repeatedly hit by a truck, nor would I wish that for a child. And that's another point. You should get a shot because you should protect yourself, because if you're sick, you might make other people sick.
That's correct. It's one of the things that we refer to as social responsibility. There are certain individuals that can't get immunized for medical contraindication. So yes, you are protecting not only yourself, but you're protecting your community as far as the spread of influenza within it. One of the things we found that where school children, you know, like I mentioned a couple of years ago, the recommendation wasn't necessarily for all age groups, but school children were a prime spreader of disease throughout their community, through the schools, and then into other families. So the recommendations changed where we tried to make sure that that age group was taken care of. So it is a way, by the broad recommendations, and it's a safe and effective vaccine, that we try to make sure that everybody in the community is aware that they should be immunized.
Go ahead.
I'm fine. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mark in Lake Geneva is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to make my comment. My wife, she is an advocate of not getting the flu shot because she has heard that it can make you sicker. Last year, I offered, you know, do you want to go get the flu shot with me? She declined. I got it. She now has had she's in the 10th day of her flu, fever, body aches, coughing, sore throat, the whole works. I have not yet got it at all. So I'm hoping that that it is the flu shot that saved me and that I'll remain all right.
Oh, I hope so, Mark. I'm happy for you, not so happy that your wife is feeling as sick as she is.
I think she might change her mind this year, actually.
Yeah. And, Tom, is that 10 days of feeling that way about the average or what?
Usually the most acute symptoms last for up to 5 or 6 days, and then it's followed by fatigue. But the cough and symptoms in other people can last definitely up to 10 days or longer. The fatigue could last several weeks. As I mentioned, the coughing could last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. I have a friend who felt like she just had a cold, and that went on for a week or so, and now she's developed a fever. And she said, well, maybe I should go see a doctor. When do you decide if it's worth seeing a doctor?
That's actually a very hard question to answer, and it would depend on the individual. But again, if someone has some type of underlying condition that would alter their immune system, whether it's due to a medication or due to a disease, HIV, cancer, something like that, you know, when the symptoms start, that's when they should be in contact with their doctors. The normal healthy adult could probably run its course at home without having to have medical attention.
Yeah.
This is Dan, and pardon me for interrupting, but I think Mark brings up an excellent point as far as, you know, his wife heard that the vaccine wasn't safe or wasn't effective or whatever. I think we have to be real careful on the different sites that are out there with the age of the Internet. And believe me, I appreciate the information that's out there. But some of that can be misinformation as well. So that's, I think, what we try to stress is if there's questions on that, be careful of the places you go for information. But if there are concerns, make sure you talk them over with your healthcare provider. That's where your healthcare provider and their healthcare provider network is there to dispel any of those myths and to make sure that you as their patient are fully aware of the things that you need to avail yourself to as far as vaccines and that type of thing.
Let's go to Derek in Appleton. Hello, Derek. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question regarding the testing procedure. I, for one, I've never had the flu shot until this year because I have a 5-month-old baby at home, and my wife has been giving me the dirty look. She is a physician's assistant, and needless to say, she's an advocate for the flu shot, so I that's a battle I'm not going to win. However, I don't know of any testing procedures for people who think that they have the flu. I mean, as far as I know, people go in, they think they have the flu because they have flu-like symptoms, and they go in, and then they're told by their healthcare provider that, yeah, you have the flu. But how is that verifiable? And, you know, what kind of science is that if there's no testing procedure for verification of the flu?
That one, Derek. There actually is testing procedures, and the first thing that happens is the person who is ill gets swabbed either in the nasal area or in the throat area. Then there's different types of tests. One is a rapid test that can be read within 30 minutes, but the preferred method is to have that swab taken to a laboratory that does PCR genetic testing, or excuse me, DNA testing. That's by far the gold standard for influenza testing at this time of year. And so far in Wisconsin, we probably had very close to about 1,000 cases that have been confirmed by a PCR. So there are testing procedures to verify it. And as I mentioned, the swabs can be taken either in the throat or in the nasal passages.
Yeah. John in La Crosse emails, I got a flu shot right away as I teach and deal with the public almost every day. Two coworkers who did not were out for almost 2 weeks. There is a lot of real nonsense on the internet, much debunked years ago, that convinced some people that vaccines of all kinds can cause brain damage, etc., or are cultured in aborted fetal tissue. It's particularly bad when some celebrity types spout off about this nonsense. Just a minute to go, Dan, not only does the flu shot not cause the flu, but it doesn't cause kids to have brain damage or autism or anything else?
No, as he mentioned, there were some rumors out there. There was a study that came out purporting that type of thing, but the study has been, and that was more associated with other vaccines, but that study has been totally debunked, and there's been numerous scientific research into that type of thing, and none of the verifiable scientific evidence points to any type of brain damage or any type of thing that he's referring to as far as being caused by additives to the vaccine.
We are talking with two guest experts about the flu and the flu shot, and we're welcoming your questions and views for them. We'll continue after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. A report released this week says Wisconsin has one of the worst flu vaccination rates in the nation for young and middle-aged adults ages 18 to 64. And apparently this group accounts for 60 to 80% of all flu-related hospitalizations this year, or since last October. So what's going on, and why aren't young and middle-aged adults getting a flu shot? Have you gotten a flu shot? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll also welcome your questions about the flu and the flu shot for our two guest experts. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Thursday, January 16th. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you'd like to join in. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guests are Dan Hoffensberger. He is director of the Wisconsin Immunization Program at the State Department of Health Services. And Tom Haupt, Influenza Surveillance Coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Since we have busy phone lines, let's go right back to the phones. Phyllis in Wapaka is with us. Hello, Phyllis.
Hi. I wanted to say that one thing that the doctors and commentators never point out to the people is that you can get flu shots that do not have the thimerosal mercury in it. My husband and I both got that kind of a shot from our doctor. And also there's a nasal spray that doesn't have it in it. And it's very important to get that out. I hadn't gotten a flu shot for years, but because I heard it was so terrible, I did go to the doctor and get that type of a flu shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan or Tom, what can you tell us about that?
That's the situation that I think that you were talking about before, Joy, where there was the fear about a study that went out there regarding thimerosal, that it had an effect on children's brains or individuals because of the thimerosal. It's a mercury derivative. And those are the studies that have been totally discredited as far as any link between that, and further studies have found absolutely no link at all. Thimerosal, as she mentioned, is something that is no longer in vaccine. It was there as a preservative, but it is a type of mercury that dispels from the body very quickly. So there has actually been no scientific evidence, that's credible scientific evidence, that there's a link between thimerosal and any brain activity or autism or other situations where the concerns have come up.
Brandon,
so the bottom line, I guess I would say, is I would not hold back on getting a flu shot because of that concern.
Brandon on Facebook says, I have gotten the flu shot every year, but for the last 2 years, I got a strain of the flu that I was told by my doctor was not covered by the vaccine. Oh, I see. He got the, well, I'm not sure. I think he had a flu shot, but he still got the flu. He said that the flu shot didn't cover that particular strain. What's with that? Bad luck?
And I'll let Tom comment on this one as well, but the vaccine that we have this year, as he mentioned, is a good match. The H1N1 is the primary disease that's circulating right now, but that's not to say some of the other strains that will be that may be circulating later on may present themselves. The situation is that through the World Health Organization and others, they closely monitor what is occurring in the Southern Hemisphere during their flu season and then try to match what they think will spread to the Northern Hemisphere later on that year, and that the vaccine is actually not developed for the coming season until late spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that, Tom. It's always a good match for some of the other circulating strains, but this year we seem to have a very good match.
Right. One thing I will mention is with influenza B viruses, there are two different lineages of influenza B virus, and for those people who get the trivalent vaccine, and up until this year, that's all that was available. It could be that this gentleman, I believe his name is Randy, actually got the strain of influenza B that was not in the vaccine. But we have not seen any surprises or any out-of-the-ordinary viruses come up in the last few years. As Dan mentioned, that we've, again, I think, feel we have a very good match with the vaccine this year.
Don't I always hear a figure of that the flu vaccine is only 60% effective?
That's one, and that's throughout the general population. I think when you look at the entire age groups, as there are some people that it may not be 100% effective in, but that's what I think we referenced before. Where even if it's not 100% effective, for most people, it will have some type of an effect as far as limiting the severity of the disease. So even though it's not 100% effective, it will have some effect and a positive effect on preventing severe symptoms for those individuals immunized.
Amanda on Facebook says, my husband got the flu shot last year, and the next day he had Bell's palsy, which lasted over a month. He won't be getting the flu shot ever again. I have to get it for work. Is that a side effect of a flu shot, Bell's palsy?
I guess I'm going to have to leave that one to the physician on whether that was associated. There are some individuals who may suffer side effects, whether it's Bell palsy that's a direct attributed to the shot. That's really a discussion between him and his provider. I don't know that I've seen that in the scientific literature. I know that with some, there's a situation called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which may present itself similar. But again, those side effects are fairly limited as far as the number of people that it actually affects. So by and large, unless there's been a proven link between that and a previous influenza shot, that should not prevent another individual from going in and getting the shot or the mist. But again, that is a situation that they really need to talk over with their physician if there is that concern.
Eric in Edgerton emails, I always get the shot and I have not been sick. I think public awareness of basic cleanliness would help not spread the flu, which is cover your mouth when coughing. And anything else, Tom?
Basically, it's a very good question by Eric and very good statement. Good hygiene also helps promote prevention of influenza. Washing your hands, as he mentioned, coughing into your sleeve, immediately throwing away a tissue should you sneeze in it. All those practices should be done on a daily basis. Unfortunately, they're not. But those practices will actually help in the prevention of influenza in addition to the vaccine.
So should I use those antibacterial wipes on my counter?
You can use the antibacterial wipes, and especially the gel is very effective against the influenza virus. And again, that's one of the myths that we talk about, because some people feel that these gels are not effective against the influenza virus, and that's simply not true. They are very effective. Strongly recommend that their use.
Let's go to our next caller, Michelle in Cornell. Hello, Michelle.
Good morning.
Morning. What's your story?
My comment is that my family has usually always gotten the flu vaccine when we had small children in the house or babies. Last year we didn't, and all five family members came down with the flu.
Uh-oh.
And we had 16 days of straight fever in our house amongst all our family members. So we all got our shot this October to prevent that from happening again this year.
Well, good for you. And I'm sorry, you said you didn't. You used to get it because you had babies in the household and then thought it wasn't important after that?
You know, we decided the risk wasn't as big last year, and we didn't. We won't do that again. My other comment is I think part of the reason, you know, it's less convenient for our family to get the shot is we live in a rural area, and we have to drive about 45 minutes, you know, to a clinic. And I always hate taking well children, healthy children to a clinic where I know they're going to be exposed to a lot of sick people, you know, to go get their vaccine. So I think in rural areas, if you had more places where well people could go and just get the vaccine without being exposed to a lot of sick people, that more people might get vaccinated as well.
What do you think of that idea, Dan?
I think that's a very good point, and that's one of the things we talked about, accessibility for the vaccine, and does that have an impact on our rates in a rural state such as Wisconsin? And that's why I think you are seeing the expansion of providers making vaccine available primarily through, and that big expansion has come through the pharmacies in Wisconsin being having the ability or license to administer vaccines. So we are looking at that both strongly in the public and private sector on how we can increase that accessibility. I really appreciate the comment she made as far as trying to protect not only her the total family with making the reference to the baby in the house. A previous caller talked about having a baby in the house under 5 months of age, and that's one I think one of the things I was referring to earlier. Is you're protecting not only yourself, but you're protecting others in the household or others in the community that cannot get immunized. Pregnancy is a prime indicator for immunization for influenza and other, and TDAP, for instance, which protects against pertussis. And it's a situation where it's almost coined the phrase cocooning. So you're not only protecting yourself, you're protecting by the parent or the other family members getting immunized. You're protecting not only yourself, but you're protecting that baby who is too young to get immunized. So I think I really appreciated that point because we needed to stress that. You're not only protecting yourself, you're protecting your entire family and the community, for those who can, especially those who can't get immunized.
And that's especially if you have elderly parents or grandparents who are in nursing homes, long-term care facilities. They, too, may not get the full protection, and you immunize yourself to also help protect them from getting influenza, which the complications could be very severe in that age group.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that comment as well, Tom, because we're talking here a lot about the 18 to 64-year-olds, but we also have to talk about the younger age groups and the elderly. The recommendation for the elderly, 65 and older, have been there for years, and our rates in that area aren't exactly what we would like them to be as well.
Yeah, and we were talking about the young and middle-aged adults in part because of this report that came out that showed Wisconsin having one of the worst flu vaccination rates for adults ages 18 to 64. Only three other states have worse vaccination rates, Idaho, Arizona, and Florida. So we're talking about what might be done to improve that vaccination rate and why we should get flu shots. Welcoming your questions and your experiences, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Did you get a flu shot? Why or why not? How concerned are you about getting the flu? Did you get the flu? We are talking about the flu and the flu shot. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Dan Hopfensperger, director of the Wisconsin Immunization Program at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and Tom Haupt, influenza surveillance coordinator at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And Monica in Greenfield is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I grew up in Mexico, so we didn't have the flu shot. And so when I came to the United States, to Milwaukee, I heard about the vaccine, and I asked some of my friends, and they said, oh, don't worry, It's pretty much, you know, I mean, nobody knows if it is going to help you if you take it, because a different strain may hit the area and it will do you no good. So I didn't vaccinate for a while. And then I started hearing that, well, actually, even if a there are some studies that show that even if you were vaccinated against a different strain, it may boost your immunity and help you. And so I was going back and forth. Then I got pregnant, and my physician told me that, you know, he recommended it, and I did not want to go into early labor or have problems because of getting dehydrated when I was pregnant. So I got my first flu shot back then. I have been, and actually, the doctor had also a very convincing argument, and part of the reason why I did it was because my father, being a pediatrician, always vaccinated us, and he always said that the risk of getting sick with a vaccine are so much smaller than the certainty of very bad side effects if you got, you know, the diseases. So he pushed for vaccinations a lot. But my doctor, when I was pregnant and after when I had my kids, had a very convincing argument. He just told me, Monica, you do not have the time to get sick when you are running after toddlers and carrying a baby. You really should get the flu shot. I have been doing it for 15 years. I have always been fine. And my brain activity seems just as bad as it was before.
Good one, Monica. That's great. You don't have the time to get sick. And frankly, Tom, it sounds like it's not just a matter of, an inconvenience with some of these hospitalizations. For those who may have just joined us, this can be serious stuff.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we've been made aware of fatalities amongst pregnant women and postpartum women in their 20s and 30s. And as I mentioned earlier, influenza death at any age is a tragedy, but especially for this particular age group and this particular condition, it's not too late to get the influenza vaccine, and there's no contraindication of getting the vaccine during pregnancy.
Yeah.
Joy, the other take-home message from that, I think, is the emphasis you put on getting it yearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, just because you got it the year before doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be protected in the next year because of the changing strains each year. So that's why we stress the need to get the vaccine yearly.
Yeah. We have a listener on Facebook who wondered about the pneumonia vaccine and whether that should be, I guess, taken along with the flu shot. Anybody have any info on that?
There's certain pneumonia shots that are recommended in infancy, and for individuals with high risk medical conditions such as some immunocompromised. But there's also a vaccine that's recommended primarily for adults or those with respiratory conditions. It's generally given for individuals 65 years of age and older, but there may be situations if you have some type of respiratory problem that puts you more at risk for complications of influenza or complications of pneumonia where that vaccine is recommended. So it is not something that is as broad a vaccine or vaccines that are as broadly recommended as the influenza vaccine.
Jane in Franklin is with us now. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I had a question. How legal is it for your workplace to demand that you get a flu shot or get fired? I know that Aurora and Freighter, if you don't get the flu shot, they will fire you. And I think that's against human rights, and they should sign a disclaimer that if you do get an effect from it or something goes wrong following that shot, that they would be held accountable for that.
Ooh. All right. Well, I'm not sure our guests are legal experts, but healthcare workers and the flu shot, is it generally required?
Many institutions, as a method to protect their patients, are to protect not only their patients but their staff as well, are requiring flu shots as a matter of employment. But again, the primary focus is the safety measure for their patients. One of the things they certainly want to prevent is having a patient in their hospital for some other situation, and they contract the influenza from one of the staff. So it's primarily a patient protection device, but not only for the individual, for the patient, but for the staff person as well. And they are within their authority to do that.
Yeah. Let's go to Jan and Shawno next. Hello, Jan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm 60 years old, and I would really like to get the flu shot, but I have had immune problems pretty much all my life. I had had a bad case of mono when I was a teenager, and when I got a flu shot in, I was probably in my late 30s. That was the only flu shot I ever had. It seemed to kick off a chronic fatigue, and I was really didn't start coming out of it for close to 10 years. And you had mentioned something about Beyond Beret, and that kind of perked up my ears, and I was wondering, because I'm also allergic to a lot of other things. I can't take antibiotics. So I'm wondering if that's one of the contraindications to taking the flu shot.
That is the use of antibiotics would not be a contraindication, even if you're actively taking them. The situation, I'm not a physician. This is a situation that you really need to have a discussion you really need to have with your care provider.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Maguanago. Hello, Chris.
Hi there. I have a question about somebody who has had H1N1. The last time it went around, I believe it was 2009. I could be wrong about the date. But my household member had H1N1 at that time. And does that mean that there is any kind of lasting immunity which would make getting the flu shot or, you know, even getting the flu, getting the H1N1 this year, not a big risk?
Tom or Dan? If you've had H1N1 before, are you immune, I guess, is the question?
Well, I think you have some partial immunity, but you do not have full immunity. And as we spoke about earlier in the show, this, again, is one of the myths that people feel, that if they did come down with H1N1 since 2009 or have been previously vaccinated, that they don't need it. But again, annual vaccination to give you full protection is what's recommended for all ages.
All right. Well, in our final moments, Dan, I guess it's not too late to get a flu shot if you haven't had a flu shot?
Correct. As we mentioned earlier, the flu is still out there. Is still the numbers are rising. Hospitalizations are rising. It's a situation where individuals just need to take the time to go in and get their flu shot. It's not too late. And again, that's a recommendation for individuals 6 months of age and older. And it sure beats the few minutes it's going to take you to get the shot. And I understand the situation as far as 45-minute drive, and hopefully we can address those issues in the future. But 45 minutes sure beats, you know, 4, 5, 6 days of being out ill.
Yeah, and we also generally would get this flu shot sometime in the fall, so this coming fall for the next season. Yeah.
Correct. But again, it's still not too late.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
We certainly recommend getting it in the fall of the year when the vaccine first becomes available, because you never know when flu is going to strike. But it's still okay. It's still a good idea to get your flu shot if you haven't done that.
Yeah, and Tom, last word on maybe how we can cope with or prevent the flu, you know, even if we have or have not had the shot.
Yeah, again, as Dan mentioned, it's not too late to get the shot. We are dealing with a very powerful virus here that has had some very negative effects on the younger adults and the middle-aged adults. So I'm hoping that we can avoid any further tragedies, and people will consider getting their vaccinations if they have not yet done so.
Thank you both very much for being with us. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Sherry for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.